Good evening. We have just 1 minute till we start. I don't have a whole lot of announcements. Basically, everything I would say is in this, so check it out if you kind of don't know. There's some new and different stuff coming up. We have a holy day coming up and a holiday party, so know about those things. One thing that I don't see on here is the next meditation that we're doing, Students of Discovering Buddhism, and anyone who's interested, on December 9th, Saturday, December 9th. It is on the website, I know, and you can register on the website to attend. So last month, we all got together and did a series of meditations, spent the day doing that, and they were in line with the Discovering Buddhism module, How to Meditate. And Saturday, December 9th, we're doing the meditations that go along with the mind and its potential, which is really good stuff. But there, it's a full day with some breaks. So if you're interested in that, check that out on the website and look at that. Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you. All right, well, welcome to DB Module 8, and this is session number 3. So we've already completed 2 classes. So I always think before I start the class that I want to give credit to the teachers. I've been reading a lot lately, Lambrim, and it keeps on saying that you should talk about the teachers. So I want to actually just for a moment give thank you to a couple of Lama Atisha for giving us Lamrim, Lama Tsongkhapa, who wrote a beautiful commentary, and then of course Pabongka Rinpoche, all our teachers, including Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Kensho Rinpoche, and Geshe-la. And I also want to thank all the DB teachers and senior students who helped me personally, and the authors that I continuously go to when I'm looking or searching or investigating, you know, Venerable Thupten Chodron is one that I always wind up looking at, you know, and then there are a couple of authors that I keep on going back to. So I just want to make sure that I, in my heart, give them thank you for allowing me to have a little bit of brain power. So with that, I want to also check in before we get into meditation. I want to check in to see if people were able to answer their assessment questions. So the last class, we talked about what are the 6 preparatory practice and what is their function, and name and describe the 7 limbs of the 7-limb prayer. So I'm just checking in if anybody's attempted to at least answer those or review those. Okay. I also want to check in to see if the last 2 classes, if you've had any concerns or feel like you're lost or that we're not covering some things, at least for the first 2 classes. I want to make sure that I'm clear. We are following the process here. We are talking about establishing daily practice, and we are going through step by step. and then getting the framework so that we can understand exactly what to do, when to do. And so we'll go ahead and review those today in a minute. I also want to check in to see if everybody's reading their required readings. So one of the requirements is the wish-fulfilling golden sun, certain amount of pages, liberation in palm of your hand, depending on gold or blue book, that's a couple of pages that you're supposed to read, making life meaningful by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and of course the daily meditation on Shakyamuni Buddha, and discovering Buddhism required reading for establishing daily practice. So again, if you're serious and you really want to learn, I would suggest you take time as your practice to read those things. Just amazing amount of information is that. And it also makes it easy in the class because all of these things are covered. And they just approach it from different angles. So if you have a question, maybe if I can't answer, maybe the Lama Zopa Rinpoche answers it like that, you know. So make sure you are reading and take your time. It's not about cramming it all in. This is not about, oh, it's a requirement, so I better do it before. It's not about that. But if you're serious about learning this and establishing it, then I would suggest that you make an effort to read it. Okay? Okay, so before we start the review, I also wanted to let you know that we've actually covered two required meditations, right? We have a visualization of Shakyamuni Buddha, our Guru deity, and then we included refuge with it first time. The initial one we did, there was nothing. It was just pure visualization. The second one, we included refuge. And the third one, we included seven-limb prayer, but it was a detailed one, and we included all the preliminaries, taking the refuge, the four immeasurables, offering mandala, and so forth. So those are all requirements as a preliminary practice. It was incorporated in meditation number two. So today, this meditation using the daily meditation practice for Lamrim, we'll be focusing on the Lamrim a little bit. Okay? So with that in mind, let's do the motivation. Okay? So just make sure your spine is straight. Take a deep breath in and out. Calling to your mind the motivation that we've generated earlier, last time, our innate wish to be helpful, our innate wish to stop suffering for ourselves and for others, our innate wish to experience unending happiness and to be able to share that with others, and our wish to be guided and protected and blessed in order to be able to accomplish our goals. So, visualizing in the space around us our mother and father of this life. All living beings, especially those most familiar to us. Imagine we are doing this practice on their behalf. So then recognizing that there is no way to generate realization on the later stages of the path, such as the wisdom realizing emptiness, without first preparing our minds with the realization of earlier stages. And especially with the wish to recognize the opportunity of our lives and not waste it. We will do this practice and meditation on the precious human rebirth, body of the meditation now. Refuge in Bodhicitta. So invite to this place all our teachers, imagining that they merge together and take on the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha. The radiant sun of the Dharma feel Shakyamuni Buddha's presence as much as possible. Now generate the mind of refuge by remembering that we are what we are afraid of, what we hope to become, and looking to all enlightened beings, their teachings, and the community of helpers who have seen reality directly, completely, and trusting ourselves to their care. remember our wish to help others, especially taking responsibility for the happiness of others. See the urgency of developing our mind as quickly as possible with the mind of Bodhicitta. The seven limb practice. Then to prepare our mind for this meditation, doing the seven limb prayer. Recognize a quality within Shakyamuni Buddha that we ourselves wish to develop, and making prostration to that, making offerings to that, admitting a mistake that we've made, with resolve to do it differently next time, rejoicing in the goodness of ourselves and others, requesting our teachers to stay in our lives and teach us, and then dedicating all the positive energy to enlightenment. We request, especially in our hearts, requesting Shakyamuni Buddha, the essence of all enlightened activity, to please bless our minds, to generate quickly the realization of the path, especially the precious human rebirth. Shakyamuni Buddha then comes to your crown of your head and stays there to bless our mind for this meditation. So we'll begin the Lamrim prayer with the first two verses, thinking of these verses as further requests from Shakyamuni Buddha, imagining that as we recite these verses, we receive both the white nectar light and purification, clearing away those things that block our minds from generating realization and golden light, giving us the very essence of the realization within our mind. So just for a moment, if you can just pay attention here, you may have heard of the foundation of good qualities, all good qualities is what I was looking at. Those are 14 verses. So when you're thinking about Lamrim, the Lamrim is pretty big, pretty thick. However, Lama Tsongkhapa has done us a big favor by putting Lamrim in this 14 verses. So we're going to say the first two paragraphs, and then in the end, we'll finish it off. So the foundation of all good qualities is a kind of kind and venerable guru. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon him with great respect. Understanding that the precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once is greatly meaningful and is difficult to find. Please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly, day and night, takes its essence. To meditate on precious human rebirth, first recognize the situation that we find ourselves in, the richnesses. Currently, we have a human life. We have intelligence. We have strength still in our bodies. We have some inclination for spiritual practices. More than just having faith in those practices, we actually have some interest to put them into practice ourselves. And we are free from being involved in any extreme negativity in our lives. We live in a place and in time where the sun of Buddha's teachings is still here. We are still in the age of Buddha's teachings, existing in this world. Not only do the Buddha's teachings exist in this world, but they are still gaining experience. We are still getting experience and freedom by putting them into action, into practice. There are still places to go and receive the teachings. There are still people who are supporting the teachings. Dharma is not a money-making operation. Without benefactors and sponsors, it does doesn't continue to exist. There are still people who wish to take up ordained life and be beacon of Buddha's teachings in this world. So first, recognizing the blessings that we have, the opportunity that we have. If we think about it, with all this richness in our life, there is nothing to stop us from freedom. There is nothing standing in our way. For us, it's only a matter of making effort. Freedoms. If we think about even just the human beings in this world, over 6 billion human beings in all the various countries where they live, in all the various situations of life that they find themselves in. Of all of those 6 billion human beings, how many of them even live in a place where they could meet the Dharma, where they could even hear the word enlightenment, freedom? In most of Africa, probably not possible. In most of Middle East, not possible. Even in those countries where Dharma is available, it is just a small little pockets. In one very big city, there might be few Dharma centers. But if I think of the entire population of that city and how many even come across a Dharma teaching and register it within their mind, it is so small. Even in India, where there are so many Buddhists now, it is only 1% of the population. Even in countries that are said to be Buddhist countries, in many cases the teachings have degenerated and the complete teachings are not available and the true practitioners and teachers are not to be found easily. In fact, it is not easy. There is not a place, not a country in this whole planet where you know you can go and find pure Dharma everywhere. Of all the living beings in those places where Dharma can be found, where teachings to be enlightened can be found, how many ever hear the teachings? And of those who hear them, how many have any interests? Of those who have any interest, how many have leisure, fortune, and freedom to be able to pursue that interest? And of those who have that leisure and fortune and an interest, how many have met a teacher who has the qualities that they wish to develop themselves? Of those who have met the teacher, how many have recognized? Of all those who have met the teachings, who have interest, who have leisure and freedom and fortune to pursue that interest, who have met their teachers and recognized their teachers, how many actually pursue the teachings? How many actually devote their lives to this freedom, to enlightenment? Think of all the people that you went to school with, or I went to school with, the people in your family, the people in the hometown. How many ever think enlightenment, freedom, or even consider the possibility that the end of suffering is possible, even in our own families? This is the situation that I find myself in. It is extremely rare. It is not common in this world to even think like this. So what am I going to do with it? What is it possible to achieve with my life? Many people have same deep-seated aspiration, some suspicion that another reality, another experience of life is possible. But they have not met the method. But I have met the method. What am I going to do with it? People all around me are suffering from sickness, aging, death, dissatisfied mind, mental and physical diseases all the time. I've come into contact with these teachings that claim they can stop all of these. stop all of the sufferings forever. How can I not try to pursue them? If there were some opportunity that I had to stop the death of all living beings, to stop war, to stop famine, to stop disease, and I were not to try, how unfortunate that would be. Think how lucky I am. It's said in the teachings that a precious human rebirth comes about only with causes, having practiced generosity, morality, patience, and especially making prayers. I pray to receive this life. I pray to have this opportunity. I pray to have this view. I pray to meet these teachings. I pray for a method to fulfill my deepest longings, and I pray to perfect my mind. Now, all the causes and conditions have come together. In this life, my prayers have been answered. What am I going to do with it? These are the teachings I search for. Now, I have this chance to attain freedom, perfection. Now, I have this chance to help this world, to really help this world. What am I going to do with it? So asking Shakyamuni Buddha from the depth of our hearts to please bless us, to recognize this precious opportunity that we have found, to not forget it, and to use it to best of our abilities, recognizing that nothing stands in our way to freedom, to enlightenment. All we have is to make an effort. How lucky we are. So repeating the second verse of the prayer from the foundation of all good qualities, understanding that the precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once is greatly meaningful and is difficult to find again. Please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly, day and night, takes its essence. Paragraph number 3 in the prayer, he goes, this life is as impermanent as water bubble. Remember how quickly it decays and death comes. After death, just like a shadow, fell follows the body, the results of the black and white karma follow. Finding firm and definite conviction in this, please bless me always to be careful, to abandon even the slightest negativities and accomplish all virtuous deeds. Seeking samsaric pleasures is the door to all suffering. It's uncertain and cannot be relied upon. Recognizing these shortcomings, please bless me to generate the strong wish for the bliss of liberation. Led by this pure thought, mindfulness, alertness, and great caution arise. The root of the teachings is keeping pratimoksha vows. Please bless me to accomplish this essential practice. Just as I have fallen into the sea of samsara, so have all mother migratory beings. Please bless me to see the train in the supreme bodhicitta and bear the responsibility of freeing migratory beings. Even if I develop only bodhicitta, but I don't practice the three types of morality, I will not achieve enlightenment. With my clear recognition of this, please bless me to practice the bodhisattva vows with great energy. Once I have pacified distractions to wrong objects and correctly analyzed the meaning of reality, please bless me to generate quickly within my mind stream the unified path of calm abiding and special insight. having become a pure vessel by training in the general path, please bless me to enter the holy gateway of fortunate ones, the Supreme Vajra Vehicle. At the time, the basis of accomplishing the two attainments is keeping the pure vows and samaya. As I have become firmly convinced of this, please bless me to protect these vows and pledges like my life. Then, having realized the importance of the two stages, the essence of all Vajrayana, by practicing with great energy, never giving up the four sessions, please bless me to realize the teachings of this holy guru. Like that, may the gurus who show noble path and the spiritual friends who practice it have long lives. Please bless me to pacify completely all outer and inner hindrances. In all my lives, never separated from perfect gurus. May I enjoy magnificent dharma by completing the qualities of the stages of the path, and may I quickly attain the state of Vajradhara. So now we will recite the request. Hey, glorious, precious root guru, please abide on the lotus and the moon seat on my crown, and taking care of me with your great kindness, bestow upon me the attainments of your holy body, speech, and mind. Then Shakyamuni Buddha is extremely pleased with your effort that we made and the promises to remind us of our precious human life and to help us take advantage of this precious opportunity. Shakyamuni Buddha melts into the stream of golden light and descends in our hearts, becoming inseparably mixed with our minds, our body, and our mind are pervaded by golden light and potential of our lives is fulfilled. We are transformed into a pure being of golden light, abiding in this world solely for the purpose of benefiting others. This is me. Imagine what that would actually feel like. So let's dedicate this meditation. So then dedicating any positive energy that we have generated during this meditation to the swift enlightenment of each and every living being, to the freedom from suffering in this world and beyond, the attainment of perfect happiness for all living beings, and that we ourselves might especially take advantage of this precious life that we have found, develop all realizations of the path within our minds, and quickly become exactly what is needed to benefit all living beings. So that was your Shakyamuni Buddha practice, Lamrim meditation on precious human rebirth. Okay? It's amazing when you listen to those words. So what I want to do is, just for a moment, if you have the prayer book, the golden prayer book in front of you, go to page 137. Okay, so you see the foundation of all good qualities. We'll cover it briefly when we are talking about Lama Tsongkhapa. There are 14 verses, and if you really look at it carefully, it covers basically your whole Lamrim in those 14 verses. For example, I'll just give you a couple of them. And I want you to get familiar with this, because when you don't have time and you're thinking about glancing over the entire Lambrim. Sometimes just reading through those 14 verses doesn't take too long, but it gives you a glimpse of every little aspect of it. Okay? The very first one, the foundation of all good qualities is a kind and perfect pure guru. So it talks about your guru practice. If you look at the second one, understanding that precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once, precious human rebirth. Okay? If you look at the third one, this life is impermanent as a water bubble, death and impermanence. So it's important that you see that in this. This is just a beautiful prayer that when you are reading and you want to just take a little break and kind of dedicate or do a little prayer, this covers your Lambrim in the shortest way you can and yet so beautiful. Okay? So it's important that you know that. And also, when you want to make a request to your guru, which sometimes you'll see in a meditation, let's make a request, is part of your seven limb, or you know, your six preparatory practices to make request. If you go to the page before that, 135, so the last paragraph, the last prayer paragraph, magnificent precious root guru, please abide on the lotus seat at my heart. Guide me with your great kindness and grant me the realization of your holy body, speech, and mind. It's a beautiful request. And I'll probably say this, what I'm about to say, several times during this session, is if you were to think of your guru deity Shakyamuni Buddha as the sun, then the rays of the sun are your gurus, your teachers. So instead of seeing sometimes as a mundane human being, okay, two arms, two legs, right? They know the stuff, right? Now think of your view. If they are teaching you unbroken lineage, the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha himself, and you have the precious human rebirth, and out of such hard work in your previous life that you did, you are here, and you meet a teacher, and he's teaching you these things, and they're offering you these teachings. It's mind-blowing if you really think about it. I just want you to keep that in your mind. Okay? So let's do a review. I wanted to really, this is session number 3. And today's session really is all about what kind of meditations to do, in what sequence, and how do you know you're done. So it's pretty verbose. But before we go, I want to really make sure that the purpose of this entire DB Module 8 is that you walk away from this class knowing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do, and then how you can manage your journey. What's your roadmap look like? Okay, that's what's the whole purpose of this class. So I want to keep it simple in certain aspects rather than getting into a lot of different branches. So let's do a little review of what did we do. The class one, we did an overview, right? Give a quick overview, importance of having a daily practice. We talked about that. We talked about all the components that you've gone through, trainings and teachings, and may have taken some DB classes. Some of you have not, but you've gotten close to many of these teachings. How can you use them? How do you bring them together? Because you'll see that 84,000 teachings Buddha gave, you can go all over the place, right? But we'll find out how lucky we are that we have it all structured for us. So this is where we started saying, this is where rubber meets the road. So you've been learning and absorbing. Now do something about it. Right? So that's where we started with the first class. Then what we talked about was setting aside some time for daily practice. What to do in between sessions and on the cushion. Because a lot of times we talk to people, what do you do for your practice? They only describe when they sit on the cushion and do something. But the practice is all-day practice. It becomes part of your life. Okay? Then we discuss steps to sit in a meditation posture. 7 point. We talk about keeping the feet straight and all the vajra position, keeping the spine straight. We talked about the head is tilted a little bit, eyes are half closed or half open, tongue is slightly resting on the palate of your, behind your teeth, you know, and keeping your arms a little wide open so the air can go in and out, and in a relaxed posture, not stiff, not so loose, but just kind of comfortable. So we talked about that, and you scan your body, and then you go through breathing techniques, right? So we talked about that. We also talked about setting up an effective meditation session, and we'll go through that a little bit more. And then we got into insensitivity to dharma. Just think about that for a second. You remember the story we talked about, the butter in the bag. You know, we talked about that. The idea of the insensitivity is, again, a lot of people come and they listen to the dharma, they don't put it into practice, what happens? It becomes out there. It's more like an encyclopedia. Oh, I know this and I know that and I've heard this before. It's not taking it in. It's not doing something with it. Right? The leather butter analogy is what I was getting at. We talked about that a little bit. And, you know, you want, your mind is like the leather, and your dharma is like the butter. You can make it softer and malleable, and it accepts it. If you sit with it, it becomes really hard. Right? So you don't want to create that kind of a mindset. You want to keep interest going, make it light, make it fun, make it part of your life. Then we also talked about mind and dharma gap. Again, dharma is something I do on the weekend, and then Monday to Friday my regular life goes on. You want to bring that a little closer. And closer it becomes, then it becomes one. You can practice many ways. It doesn't have to be this, sit for 1 hour, come on a Sunday, and that's your dharma. You can expand that, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And then we talked about Lambrin is your last chance. If you can't get out of 84,000, you get a structured volume and it tells you, do this, and you will be enlightened. And if you can't handle that, then I don't know what else can be handled. Okay, so it gives you a tool. Goal of dharma is what? Buddhahood, to become enlightened. Free from suffering. It's amazing how much we talk about suffering, don't we? That's all Buddhism talks about, suffering all the time. It's very interesting. It really is how to get out of it so you can be free of suffering. That's the goal. So think of that keep that excitement in your head. That's the ultimate goal. Okay? Then we talked about precious human rebirth a little bit, that it's more than just self-happiness, that it becomes precious. So many people are born all over the world, but it's precious because you have met dharma. Right? So that's what makes it precious. We did a donut analogy, if you remember the first class. It's talking about kindness of others. So you go to a donut place and you say, well, I pay for it, it's my money, it's my donut, I enjoy. This is very quick, right? It's my life, what I do, here's my earned money. That's it. But we never think of how that donut came to be. The farmers that grew the wheat or the flour, the truck driver that brought it, somebody who made it. We never expand our mind. We live in this constrained mindset. So we talked about that a little bit. Think of kindness of others. Then in class two, we kind of laid the groundwork. You know, we started talking about six preparatory practices. And for those people who have not been to that previous class, I'm going to go through this. This is about setting up your daily practice. And there are these preliminary things you do before you get into a meditation session. So one is a dedicated space for meditation. Right? We talked about cleaning the clutter, vacuum away the obscurations. So when you're cleaning it, think about that little story I told you about that dull monk who was about to give up, and Sakyamuni Buddha told him, no, go back, clean the place, and just kind of meditate on a few things that he gave them, and basically translated into dirt be gone, stain be gone. Eventually, he became a realized being. So simply taking away, he connected. What is all that about? So we talked about that. We talked about setting up an altar. You know, how to set up an altar, a simple altar, left to right. You have your holy book, scriptures, and you have the Shakyamuni Buddha or your guru, and then you have a stupa, simplest one. Then you can make it all elaborate. You can have water bowls, do the offerings, and so forth. Make your offerings large. If you're offering something, make it huge for stopping your mind to imagining. Right? If you get, like we'll say, I'm offering you this, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But make it huge in your mind. Expand your mind. Okay? Mentally multiply. You can multiply yourself, saying, thousands of me are offering you. When you bow down or you do a prostration, think all those sentient beings underneath me are also blessing, are being blessed. So Lama Zopa Rinpoche does this so amazing that, you know, you don't make it so narrow, me-I thing. Make it huge. So we talked about that a little bit. Then third six out of the six preparatory practices, the third one sitting in meditation posture and generating the mind of refuge in bodhicitta, right? We do three prostrations. Then we do seven featured position, the sitting posture. We generate the mind of refuge and bodhicitta. Okay? Then we invoke the merit field. In this case, Guru Deity Shakyamuni Buddha. Okay? Start with Shakyamuni Buddha, and by carrying out Shakyamuni Buddha's teachings, remember the analogy, the sun and the rays. You know, invoke your teachers. Bring your teachers there. They are same. Okay? And so that's very important. Then we did seven limb prayer. That's the nut and the bolt recipe to prepare your mind. Okay? You do your prostrations, you do offering to overcome your miserliness, you confess. And again, that takes sort of three of your poisons. I think attachment, hatred, and ignorance. And rejoicing, you rejoice in the merits of others. Request to stay and keep teaching. And then in the end, you actually again make request and dedicate. Okay? So it kind of walks you right through the refuge, developing bodhicitta, the seven-limb prayer, and then we also reviewed generating the mind of refuge and bodhicitta, how to take refuge, obstacles, how to remove those obstacles, how to work with those obstacles during the day. We talked about how we react in a patterned way, so you could feel wonderful doing a meditation, and then as soon as you leave, what happens? Back to that traffic, back to the car, get right into that pattern. So you have to remind yourself. So when you take refuge in the morning, you are keeping yourself protected, and once in a while, kind of reflect on your day. That becomes in between session practice also. Right? It's kind of, when you have a strong intention and you do your preliminary practices in the beginning, your whole day goes really very good. Okay? And then we talked about different sadhanas or practices. Buddha, Tara, Chinrezig, Vajrasattva, and all talks about having your own experience. When you do these practices, you're developing an experience in your own mind stream. Okay? And of course, Lambrim has many meditations. We'll go through that a little bit. And in the end, we talked about quality and not quantity. It's not about cramming all of these meditations and big sessions in one time. Most of us who are working probably don't even have that much of time. But so the quality of your meditation is important. Right? So take it slow. It's an experience. So any questions on the first two classes? Who's new here today for the first time? Okay. And if you have questions, certainly after the session, you can ask me if you have any questions, okay? Yeah, it's a good check-in, right? Because what happens is a lot of these classes are, you know, you go through it, like you'll see now the session starts and you start talking about all these things. But in the back of your mind, some words are different or, so what do I do? Where can I begin? Those are questions that come up very quickly in your mind stream. And I'm trying to keep it clean enough where you know that you need to do your preliminary practices. Now you've done your preliminary practices, now we're going to talk about I'm going to do my meditation, but what else do I do, and how do I do it, and which one do I do, and why? Those are the questions now in your mind. And then do I do everything? Do I read it out and then kind of close my eyes? So these are questions in my mind, how to do it. So we're going to kind of approach that slowly and steadily, going through some anecdotal stories and analogies and stuff like that. In the end, the goal is to come up with a succinct way of doing your practice. Okay, so before we go into that, when I was putting this session together, it goes through all of these things, and in the end it goes, don't worry about all that, you can do it this way. Right? So what I'm trying to do is, I'm going to go there first, and then we're going to talk about it. Okay, so that keeps it clean in your head. Okay, so it talks about a multi-pronged approach when you do your meditation. According to Pabongka Rinpoche and Lama Sopa Rinpoche, you do your preliminary practices. That's like your regular, when you get up, bodhicitta, plus your speech, do your preliminaries, and then refuge, your four immeasurables, seven-limb prayer, mandala offering. Those are your beginning. It just opens your mind up. gets it ready. And then when you're doing it, you can do a little guru devotion. Then you study Lamrim topic. Read about it. You don't have to immediately get into meditation. Sometimes it's good to just read about it, contemplate it. What does it mean? What is it saying? Where is this coming from? Okay? And that you can do that every day a little bit. They also say that you should always think a little bit about meditation on emptiness. Now, most of you have not taken this DB class on emptiness. It's coming. But we'll talk a little bit about it because it's required that you at least have some glimpse of it. Okay? It's very important. And then you do a Lamrim prayer. We just went through the foundation of good qualities, all good qualities. 14 verses. It doesn't take that long. Believe me, when you read through this, it sounds like a huge, long, who's got 4 hours, 5 hours a day? You know, and if you do, great. But some of you don't. So how can you make this meaningful for you and long-lasting and make it part of your daily life? That's the whole idea. So these are some things that these are basic components of a daily practice. So you go through your preliminaries, and then you do these things. Now we're going to get into this, and then you can get into depth, how long, how deep, how far, what does it mean, that kind of stuff. Okay? So any questions?
Just to keep in mind for the folks, this is your first time or whatever, all prior sessions are on the website. So you can look them up.
Thank you, Gary.
Nothing's lost. So you can go back the last two sessions, see them from the beginning. If you have any questions on how to access them, Aaron or I will be helpful. Well, most folks here can tell you how to get them because most of us wind up watching them on the website.
Wonderful. Okay, so again, thank you, Gary. Thanks, that's great. So I've said this before that, you know, you see 17 to 20 different kinds of meditation in Lamrim. Then you hear Medicine Buddha practice, Tara practice, Vajrasattva practice, Precious Human Rebirth, Emptiness, Bodhicitta. Where does it all fall in? How does it fall into place? So initially, when you're reading any meditation, don't focus too much on the words. Focus on the thought. When you first start out, when you read through it, don't get hung up about all this, every single word. Just glance through it. Think about it. That's just the beginning. Just make your mind a little placid to allow a thinking. Okay? And eventually, when you get good at it, when you start to really practice it, you start to think about it, and then you start to follow it, it will become an experience for you. There will be thoughts in your mind that even certain words of that meditation will trigger an emotion. You know, it could be when you're doing the lower realm ones, it can trigger anguish. If you're doing something like emptiness, people start crying. I mean, it really does invoke that kind of emotion. So then you know the idea behind meditation is you firmly get into it. So first you glance through it, become familiar with it. This does not happen the first session, guys. It takes a while. If you look at a lot of these readings you do from Pabongka Rinpoche or any Lama Zopa Rinpoche, some of these teachings, teachers used to give them teachings and the monks would go away for a year or two, practice it and come back and get another one. I'm not saying that you need to take 3, 4, 5 years, but what I'm saying is don't expect this switch that I'm going to sit down on a cushion, buy this expensive cushion, I'm going to have it, I'm going to sit down, and nothing happened. Don't get into that. It's a slow and steady, you move forward every single day. It's a daily practice. You know, you don't exercise 2 hours the first time after 10 years and expect that you're going to have muscles, right? You're going to have sore muscles. So think of it that way. Take slow and steadily, okay? So according to Dharma teaching, do not rely on the words, rely on the meaning. So then after you do your invoking the merit field, so when you start your meditation, you're invoking the merit field. In this case, Shakyamuni Buddha, okay? So you invoke your merit field. You invoke your teachers. You develop a mind of refuge. Develop bodhicitta, compassion towards others. That's the heart of our practice. And if you really think about it, how powerful that is, it's easy to say, develop compassion. I don't have compassion. You know, you can talk like this. I have some compassion, but I just can't be that altruistic. But if you practice it, if you develop this mindset every day, if you do your four immeasurables, may all living beings have happiness and the causes of happiness, you're slowly and steadily, what you're doing, think about it, you're doing two things. You're letting that I go a little bit. You're thinking of others. That's a really powerful, powerful technique in many ways if you look at it. It's not only wonderful for your mind stream, it's not only wonderful for your next life, but it's also developing you at all times because you're not grasping onto yourself. You know, please let me be happy. Please let me be the millionaire. Right? You're talking about everybody out there. So it starts with a wish. Then you develop it. We talked about in the class number 2. Start with a friend. Start with your pet. Start with somebody you can deal with. And then slowly develop that mindset. Again, nothing is immediate. Okay? Okay, and then once you do the merit field, you do your 7 limb. And all 7 limbs are just like you need your 4 limbs to sustain this body. These are just very important pieces of your practice, and we've already gone through it again and again. Prostration, offering, admitting the mistakes, rejoicing in the goodness of others, consciously asking teachers to stay, and then dedicating. Right? Now, it should be firm in your mind that these are normal daily things. You come to any teachings, you'll see in the beginning they'll go through some of these things. And in the end, we also want to offer a mandala. When a new teacher comes or when a geshe-la comes, we offer mandala. Okay? And so think about what is a mandala. Can anybody remember from the last class what mandala was? When we offer a mandala? Go ahead, Gary. Correct.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, just to offer all the world.
Okay, so a couple of ways it's put, maybe easy way to look at it, thinking of the world as we would want it to be. Make that offering. Okay, just visualize yourself what that Buddha world would be like. You know, offer the best, offer the biggest, the largest, the best. You can do, you know, it can even become your meditation. If you think about it, you can do that as fun. What would it be when you become enlightened? What would that world could look like? You would be teaching all the things you would have, how beautiful things would be, clear-minded people. Whatever. Develop a world. It's a great practice. It's the advanced students sometimes who have commitments and empowerment, they can actually visualize their own pure land. They actually work at it and they develop and see the pure land. So these are all preliminary practices, and we in the end make requests, right? So the question then comes is, why do we do this? What's the point? Preliminary practice, meditation, do this and prostrations, why? Is the question, right? Why do we do it? Very good point. To attain realizations quickly. To clean the slate. Too many things going on, many ping pong balls every day, right? We have that other partner that lives as a roommate. And so accumulate positive energy. Okay? Develop some momentum. When you do this with conviction, you know, it's like an analogy. When you want to buy something good in material-wise, say you want to buy a car or something like that, you know, we do research and we find out and what color will it be and will it have leather in it, will it have cloth in it, will it have air conditioning? We kind of get excited like a little toy coming to us, right? Think of somebody promising you enlightenment, freedom, no more this nonsense, fully realized being. It's hard to fathom. That's why we keep it out there. Because you can't think about it. But you can think of small things you can do that will create this conviction. You know that this is a medicine and a prescription given to us. It works. We know teachers that have brought this unbroken lineage of teaching from Buddha himself, who was realized. And it's coming to you here in the language you understand. How fortunate. It's hard to think. Keep that mind and the gap of dharma closer, bring it a little closer and say, you know, don't make it so foreign, don't make it so cumbersome, don't make it, oh gosh, I gotta learn this, I gotta read this and attend. Don't make it so complicated. Take one thing at a time. Who's saying you gotta do it all together and now? The urgency is that you start. Because the life is short. We'll talk about that a little bit. That's the urgency. But if you have to allow your mind to have this freedom to absorb some of these things, to understand it. Make sure conviction doesn't come from because somebody said so. We all know that. You have to feel it. Right? You say, show it. You know, I can say all kinds of things, but say, show it. That's the proof. So develop your own realization. And it's said that if you do it consistently with this kind of mindset, you will have realization. I heard somebody talk about aha moment. I have a whole paragraph on it, so let me just bring it up now. You know, you will see that you'll sit there, and all of a sudden you'll get a visceral emotion. You know, especially when you're talking about the first few meditations that are like really like cumbersome hell realms, and you will suffer and all this. You'll see that you will realize, oh my God, I don't want to be in that way. If you really think about it, and if you can't think about it, we'll go through a little bit again. I may duplicate myself here, but think about other countries right now. I just saw a picture of people hung upside down in Libya for slavery. It was in my one of the readings I was doing, and people tied up in today's age. You think of them. Do you think that are thinking about enlightenment? Or meeting the Dharma? And people just lined up, tied up together. And I'm thinking about, my goodness, or think of people in Iraq or Syria, where the planes are going every couple of minutes, and you don't know where that bomb is going to fall. You know, when you think of that, it's happening here on this earth. We don't even have to think about realms. It happens here. It can happen in our surrounding. So you just think how lucky you are that you can sit here with a free mind and contemplate on these things. You know, so it's I'm just trying to drive the point that this is how you want to be developing. When you do your preliminary practice or when you do your daily meditation sessions, you will see this. You'll reach a point where you say, aha, I got it. I see it. I feel it. You want to hold on to that for a while. Keep it going.
One of the things that I have observed in the teachings about my own mind is that it naturally engages with negative thoughts. And from studies that I did previously, it takes 11 positive thoughts to undo one negative thought. And so often the negative thoughts are those obstacles where I can't think of a pure land because I'm too busy just managing my daily life. And what's the point anyway? And you develop this whole script of, I can't do it. I won't live long enough to be a Buddha. All of these, I guess they're obstacles that we create in our mind. And when we can finally realize it's just a thought, and stop that. It's really remarkable when the good stuff can come in.
Right, and you know, we talk about antidotes. And again, this comes with consistency, right? We've developed this mindset, this negative thoughts, over many lives. These are seeds, okay, that have been posited somewhere in our mind stream, including positive things. You are in a human form, precious human rebirth, so you did a lot of good things too. But then we develop these layers, and we do, there's a meditation. It's like you're looking at a lake with the muddy water because it's still churning. Let it settle down. The dirt settles down and you see clear water. It's something like that. At some point when you do calm abiding or concentration meditation, and when you go through this practice, you develop this conviction, this love, for doing it, you will start to see realizations. Visions will happen. And sometimes they don't happen when you're doing it. When you're most relaxed and looking at something else outside from your veranda or wherever, all of a sudden a thought will come that's positive. Because you're building those, you're really creating causes and conditions for those seeds to ripen. If not now, later. That's the point. Okay? Thank you for that, sharing that. So let's talk about the graduated path to enlightenment. The Lambrim is often translated as graduated path to enlightenment. There are 84,000 teachings from Sakyamuni Buddha. Okay? And these teachings, so you can imagine in those days in Tibet where it's snow, you're at 9,000 feet up in the mountains, and there's no digital world there, and how people found teachings. How long would it take for them to take their mule or a yak and go miles over those mountains for to even learn one or two teachings? And what we have here is that this pure Lamrim in front of you that you can start reading now if you haven't already and start to learn. Put those, it's just an amazing commentary. And you think about it and you look at it and see if it works for you. Okay, at least start to read it, doesn't hurt. Okay? And the whole goal of that is to what? To attain enlightenment. So let's talk about who's Lama Atisha, just very briefly. He was a teacher in 11th century. He's the one who created this blueprint for you. The teachings are not new. The teachings were there already from Buddha. What he did was he structured it. So that's easy for us. That's the biggest gift he's given to the mankind. Ones that can read that and follow that. He was a crown monk, well known. He was invited by a king in Tibet. And they even told him that if he came to Tibet, he'll shorten his life by 20 years. That's how tough the life was then. He still did that. And then people were very confused as what to read. There was a lot of confusion with this, all these 84,000 teachings. And he compiled it together and structured it. And thus became the Lamrim. Okay? So you can think about how he's done all the hard work, years of hard work, and he's put it in a concise way so we can open a book sitting in our sofa and read it. Okay? Basically, his help is allowed us to avoid wasting our time. He's given us a tool and to quickly attain the goals. Okay? And it's basically Lambrim tells you what to meditate on, in what order, and it's made it very easy for us. That easy. So that's Lama Atisha. The two Lambrims that are most often recommended, one is Lambrim Chenmo, also known as the Great Treatise on the Stages of the Path to Enlightenment. If you go out there, you'll see the three volumes. That's by Lama Tsongkhapa. Okay? And that was in 14th century. So he's taken, it's very extensive commentary on Lambrim. So, you know, Lambrim is step by step by step, but these are commentaries, how to see it, how to read it, how to meditate. You know, they've given commentaries. So it's another beautiful, it's very detailed. Okay? So you can take a look, and you can also just letting you know that I have it on my iPad. I just got it from Amazon, and I just, whenever I'm flying or going somewhere, I open up and read a couple of pages. You know, so you do it at your leisure that way. So it's the most extensive and detailed. He also wrote Middling Lamrim, which is still not translated in English. He also has Songs of Experience, 25 verses. That's another short version of Lamrim. And then the last thing is the Foundation of All Good Qualities, the 14 verses. So that's all came from Lama Zopa Rinpoche. Oh, sorry, my mind is there. Thank you. So Lama Tsongkhapa. So then we go to liberation in palm of your hand. Okay, you see all this, which one is what? What is it, this one? So this is compiled by Trijan Rinpoche. You guys all have it. If you don't have it, I'll show you what it looks like. Sorry. this is liberation, palm of your hands. And it says here, a concise discourse on path to enlightenment, Pabongka Rinpoche, and edited by Trizan Rinpoche. Okay? And this is a commentary that Pabongka Rinpoche gave, and Lama Trizan basically took the teachings, and put it together. This edited version. It's again a commentary. They don't get, this one is not so detailed, but it's very beautifully put together. If you want to learn meditation, what to do, you just have to go through this book. And if you go to Guru Devotion, if you go to Precious Human Devotion, everything is bulleted with explanation. You can just read through it and you start to get into that state. It's amazing how nicely it's put together. So this is another beautiful resource that you have. And then they tell you that a lot of times that when you are sitting for your meditations, now you're determining which meditation to do, how do I begin? So according to Pabongka Rinpoche, you need to first look at the preface. Don't right away get into meditation. And I don't know if you guys have this particular book. I have my Lam Rim book. I'm going to share it. I keep this book. It's a Lam Rim meditation book. It's, you can buy it. And if you look at, for example, Precious Human Rebirth or Impermanence and Death, everything starts in Lam Rim with the disadvantages of not remembering death at the time and then advantages of remembering death at all times. Just read those. You don't even have to get into the categories and the three subcategories and it gets too big immediately. But you get familiar with just basic reading. So in all the things that I have read saying, don't immediately get into this deep meditation of all these components and subcategories. Just look at the advantages and the disadvantages. Just do a little glance review. Okay? Do that for a while till you get so familiar with it. Okay? And then when I was putting this together just for this class, I'm thinking like how some people can get, they read it and they get it and they can meditate. Some people want to hear and do meditation. So there are tools available. Again, I'm not trying to sell or, but I always look at what's easy for people. I have a lot of meditations on my iPad that I've kind of downloaded audio from FPMT. There's also in our bookstores, this is a little bit expensive, but the best part of this is it has a CD. With Lam Rim meditations. So while you are reading about your meditation here, you have a CD that's kind of, you can listen to it. And that makes it easy. It's just different tools available. Okay? So a point is again that don't get too complex and detailed. Sometimes it's just important to focus on one point or two points. Right? So you don't want to get into so much detail. Because when you start to do, if you really think about even Precious Human Rebirth, you have 8 freedoms and 10 richnesses. Okay? Now you got to think about how am I going to remember those 8 freedoms and 10 richnesses? Well, take one. Take one. And say you want to also take one that you can relate to in the beginning. So you immediately don't want to get into the hell beings. Okay? Maybe you can talk about not being born in a barbaric land. You can relate to that, right? You're not born in Afghanistan. You're not born in Iraq. You're not born in Africa. You can relate to that. Then you may want to take other teachings, your own thoughts, come at it from different angles for that particular piece only. You know, freedom of not being born in a barbaric land. Just one point out of 8 of these, you just focus on 1 or 2. That becomes a start. So you just going back a little bit, when you talk about what meditations to do, when we talk about Lam Rim is broken down into 3 scopes. Most of you probably know it, some of you don't know it. It's the small scope, the middle scope, and the large scope. Okay? And think of it like a high school, 1 to 5th grade or 6th to 8th grade and from 9th to 12th grade or something like that. It's important that you learn to read before you go to 7th grade class. So they have done it. And if you look at the small scope, it's called low motivation. It is, but it is very important. You know why? Because they are the ones that really turn you up. Because you talk about precious human rebirth, death and impermanence. The minute you get into that, you develop this urgency of how important this life is and why I need to do what I'm practicing right now. Okay? So it's very, very powerful that way. You know, you don't want to go into a lot of just so many meditations. Okay? And I actually, even in this book, it's really amazing that I find myself going to this book all the time. And it very quickly sets a small scope, and it talks about the perfect human rebirth, the death process, refuge in bodhicitta, citta, and then it goes into meditation scope, karma and true suffering, and the 12 branches of samsara, greater scope, equanimity, bodhicitta, emptiness. It goes into that. So you kind of see the progress. You go from one to, and then what they tell you is, even before you do just focus on one meditation and spend a lot of time, every day, take this content like this and do a glance of entire Lamrim, just the subject, the titles, keep that whole perspective. Remember, the whole, is this is a stages, graduated stages, or the path to become enlightened. So you can have a roadmap, you know, you go to AAA, they give you a map, you're looking, okay, I gotta go from here to New York, well, I'm gonna go through Virginia, or I'm gonna go through Washington, D.C., I'm gonna stop in Baltimore, I'm gonna have to pay toll here, and finally go through Lincoln Tunnel, and here's New York, right? So, here's your roadmap. It's perfectly beautiful to just, before you do meditation, take a look at it and say, oh, this is Lamrim. This is the path to become enlightened, you know? And then you look at it, oh, preliminary practices. I kind of know that now. Oh, the small scope, perfect human rebirth. I think we did this meditation today. Right? And then you look at this eight worldly concerns, impermanence and death. You kind of go through this. And it kind of walks you through that whole map. And keep do a glance review every time. And eventually you'll become familiar with the main topics of Lamrim. Now, you have done your preliminary practice, you know what that Lamrim topics look like, and then you're going to go to your first scope, and you're going to say, I'm going to think about precious human rebirth, and the next thing you're going to say is, well, that's a huge subject, what am I going to focus on? Well, in your readings, if you have been reading, it talks about the eight freedoms and the 10 richnesses. Pick one or two. And think about it. Bring your own experience. Think about if you've gone to Geshe La's class and he's taught something. You have your notes together. Come at it from different angles, put it together, and think about it. And then start to get into the meditative state. And what I'm finding out more and more I read about this is, they even tell you that you will, in the beginning, even get anguish. You will even get negative thoughts. Okay? Actually, according to Pabongka Rinpoche, that means it's working. You want to create those imprints that you want to see it and feel it viscerally, that, oh my goodness, I don't want that. And if you keep that at a distance and say, oh yeah, these people are suffering, some people are dying, I see that on the news all the time. You see, we have that insensitivity, too much bombardment of those things. But when you really, really put yourself in that position and think about it, and feel about it. See if you are, what would happen to you if you were there for even a day. That's when you start to feel like, oh geez, I better do something right now. Right? That's the urgency. It's a fuel. The first two are lower scope meditations. It's like a fuel to get you really going. Okay? Any questions?
So things like compassion and six perfections and stuff like that are very far along in the Lamrim. So what's the point of thinking about them now if we really don't understand karma and we don't really think about death in the way that we should? Like, should we not be skipping ahead?
No, so I'll put it this way. There are students here that have gone through a lot of this training. There are people here who have never heard of these things. But you'll find as you expand from basic, for people who have never done it, they don't even know what karma is, you'll find that as you focus on one thing, at some point you will read about it. Or you'll say, okay, I got this, death and impermanence, I kind of feel it. you know, I understand it. Then you're going to go to the next subject. You will eventually read. You'll see everything is interwoven, that in every meditation, it kind of touches everything else. If you look at precious human rebirth, you can bring in emptiness, you can bring in bodhicitta, samsara, refuge. It's amazing how interwoven it is, yet for distinctly individual topic, it's a meditation by itself. Right? So it depends on the scope of your interest, study, yearning to learn, and of course opening the book and reading it. So it you don't have to go further. If you can't understand something, remember quality, not quantity. It's not about bringing in patimoksha vows and emptiness right away. You don't even know that. So leave it alone. Have a little glimpse of it and say, I don't understand it. I'll find out. But things you can relate to, you can certainly focus on, right? You need to bring that experience. We can all think about just the example I gave you right now, born in the wrong land. Would you like to be there? No. How would it be every day if I was suffering? Or even another realm? Okay, or they call it preta realm, or suffering beings, where they're hungry, but they can't drink water, or they don't have the mouth to even eat. They're suffering, they're burning, whatever it is. You know, you don't want to be in that state of mind. So that's the kind of ways you can develop some urgency for meditation. So choose. That's why they go to lower scope, because you may have not covered some detailed subjects. And, you know, as you go through DB and you start to connect karma and the other pieces, you will see it's all interwoven. It's all interwoven. Okay? All right. So, Yeah, you have 15 more minutes, right?
If we wanted to until the end, yeah, hers is 7 minutes.
Okay, so I'll be done. I don't have a lot to go to. So let's put this in perspective. Okay, and there's 5 minutes I want to touch, since we talked about emptiness. There is a requirement here that you at least give you a little glimpse of what emptiness is. Okay, so we talk about in Buddhism about the direct wisdom, looking at the emptiness directly. If you can do that, you are a Buddha. All of these practices that you're doing, everything that we are doing, is eventually to lead you to the understanding of what reality is. We see things conventionally. We see you sitting here, I see the chair here, I see the table here. But then when you think about it, is this inherently a table, or is it a bunch of wood that people worked on, somebody painted it, and we call it a table? For common understanding, that's a conventional truth. So give you an example of it, how to look at emptiness. So say you have a boss. He's yelling at you, screaming at you. So your experience is unpleasant. The person who hates you, your next cubicle guy who hates you, he's thinking, oh, that's great. His experience is pleasant. Look at the cockroach on the floor that's also going through this whole vibration up there. Cares less what you're doing. Three individuals, three perspectives. Same thing, same data. Right? Let's take it look more esoterically. You take water. For us, it's something that you need to quench your thirst. What an important thing. For higher realms, it's nectar. They see that as nectar. Lower realms, they see that as a pus. Okay, just so you can see that object is the same. Experiences of your mind stream is different. What that means is you are creating your reality as you, every single day. It's your mind that creates this reality. What you see, you've asked for it, you've created it, and you're creating it. Now, I don't want to go too deep into that. That's what you want to have. I'm going to hang a little red fruit. When you go to emptiness, this will be like a mind opening for you. That when you look at things, you realize things do not exist inherently. They are there because they're dependent arising and causes and conditions. Everything. Take anything. You, people, tables, chairs, cars. There's always moments before that created that something is causes and conditions. And I give examples. You put an acorn, you put it in water, give a sunlight, the tree comes out. on that tree, then many acorns will come out. Many trees may come out, some may die, depending on causes and conditions. But it goes on and on and on. Same thing with human body. You know, we have skin and bones and, you know, things, and it can go back step by step every moment. What create, and you're changing as we speak. The day you're born, you're dying, right? Because you're aging by day. Impermanent. So this is something about emptiness. All you need to remember for this particular session is that just these things, the reality as we see it, you know, is conventional reality. Causes and conditions brought it here. Your causes and conditions brought you here, and you are seeing it that way. But inherently, it does not exist. Hard concept. You really have to think about it very carefully. So, you know, maybe you can go home and kind of look into that a little bit. Do things exist the way they appear? Does this clock exist? Yes, yeah, I see it. Go ahead.
I remember an example that Ravi gave us, like, I think, I don't know, it was a long months ago. And he was like I don't know, a teacher. Well, for me, this really helped me to understand that. Like a teacher, if you have, like, good grades or something, he can be for you a good teacher, no? And if you have bad grades, it can be bad. Or for you, it can be fat. Or for someone else, it can not. Or it can be handsome, or it can be like, I don't know, like, it's not that you are like that, no? So that's like an example, like, he is not a good person or a bad person or
right.
Tall or short, or it depends how do you look at, no?
That makes sense. That's why karma and emptiness are inseparably linked. Your activity creates your mind stream, your reality. You are sowing the seeds for your next moments or lives or whatever stage. So every day, so if you want to take this whole practice now, let's put it in perspective. Why do we do all of these things? Why do we do preliminary practice? You're preparing your mind in a positive side, virtuous mind, loving mind, caring mind, bodhicitta mind, to become free. You to develop that mind so you don't go back into this same, have that I again coming back to you, taking birth again, dying again, learning again, going to school again, whatever. Or could be a different form, doesn't have to be human being. Right? So you want to be free of that, aware, and in state of enlightenment. So this practice is taking the steps to put those seeds in your mind so that you can develop your mind stream for the next stage. Or become Buddha. And if you understand, if you study Lamrim, that's your tool. It's a prescription. They're telling you what chapters to read, how to go. So now you have the tool. You have Geshe La. You have Lama Zopa Rinpoche. You have many senior nuns here that they're helping you, like nurses and doctors. So all of these things have come together, and it is now your conviction to try it out and see if this works for you. And doing daily practice is the starting point. You can talk all you want, read the books, listen to the videos, audios, see videos, helpful. But if you really want to feel it and get those realizations, or in Sanskrit they call it siddhis, attainments, you'll be amazed that how this will come together, and then start working on understanding emptiness when the class is given. I would suggest that's one class. Well, the first one, Mind and Potential and Emptiness, really changed me, personally speaking about myself. I went to Robbie's class, Mind and Potential, and that really excited me, like, wow, I had no idea so many minds. And then I went to Emptiness, and that just blew me away. And then I said, oh my gosh, I can kind of get a glimpse of that now. I understand it now. And then I got excited. Then I started reading all of these things. So any questions on emptiness and karma and how they're linked? All experiences, the data is right there. Each person sees that in a different way based on your karma and your experience. The cockroach looked at that yelling as, who cares? The guy, he didn't like the guy, saying, oh, that's a great experience. And the guy who was getting yelled at was feeling bad. Right? Same information, three different people looking at it, three different beings looking at it different ways. So that's how we create our own reality. Anything else? Okay, 8:23. You have 7 minutes. Thank you. And after the chief finishes it, I do want to do a little dedication.
What we have is a recording from a talk on Sunday. So if you were here on Sunday, you get to hear it twice. We're in the season of annual appeal, and so we're asked to play this message from Sandy.
I've had a few helpings lately. These people sent cards, they sent food. You know, they took care of me. These are people that take care of me. These people that I would take care of. You know, so we have a lot of very close people that are here, people that are friends of mine, people that I, you know, wish I had more time to spend with. These are, you know, y'all are my community, you're my people. It's one of the reasons I give. What about the teachers? Geshe Gallup, Geshe Sangpo, you know, some of you may not have the opportunity to meet them or spend time with them, and I'm very fortunate that I have. You know, that one of the reasons why I give, to make sure that they're supported, absolutely. That's one of the reasons I give. You know, our Sangha, Lamala, Kandala, Chukila, Venerable Tendrin, who's down in Florida. You know, I love being around them. I learn from them. You know, that's one of the reasons I give. You know, our lay teachers, Robbie and Don. You know, Hemant now. Shanka, who's no longer here. You know, we've got a lot of amazing lay teachers. What about the visiting teachers? Okay, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Kensa Rinpoche. What about the teachers that come here? Venerable Amy, Venerable Rabina, Venerable Gyatso. I mean, I've met so many amazing teachers and learned so many things from them. And we have more visiting lay teachers, Karina Caton, Jonathan Landau. You know, we have just amazing people that come here that I have the opportunity to learn from, to spend time with. Is that one of the reasons I give? That it is. It's a big one. What about the teachers and the teachings? You know, all the people that give up their time. Donna Cease, our spiritual program coordinator, donates her time. Okay, she donates her time. Chris Bariansky, okay, all of the teachings are online that we can access. I access them all the time, whether it's live, okay, or I back up and listen to some of the older teachings. You know, the time that he puts in to do this stuff, you know, are the teachers, our children's program coordinators, Christy Batts, Linda Saul, these people, they volunteer their time, and they give of their time. Is that one of the reasons why I give? You know, they inspire me to give up my time, okay, to give up my money. The teachings and the Dharma, you know, I'm a better person now. I can sit there, I've got this length of time, or I can look back, and over the past 10 years, I am a better person now because of Kadapa Center, because of the teachings, the teachers, the people. Okay, this practice works for me. It just, it works for me, and I try to practice it every day. But this works for me. So why do I give? Because I'm still working on this. I've got a long way to go. But I want the center to be here while I'm working on this. I want the center to be here for me. And if it's here for me, it's here for others. And so I take refuge in Kadapa Center, in all the pieces and parts, in the people, the teachers, the community. This is, that's why I give. So I didn't cry, because I actually cried while I've been thinking about this the last few days. And so as you think about the annual appeal, and as you guys think about doing this, you know, I let go of so many of the things and those little trite things that we do, and just sit down and sit with it for a little bit. Why? Why is this important to you? You know, why is this home? And think about it that way. Come at it from that way instead of, you know, here, it's here. And the Dalai Lama gives a beautiful description of what the mind is, and it's not just here, it's your heart too. So, thank you.
So before, okay, I want to do dedication. You know, remember guys, we always have an intention and then we have to dedicate. And dedication helps you with your bodhicitta also. So it's not holding it in, but sharing it. Very quickly, won't take too long. So let's dedicate. We dedicate all this energy from listening to these teachings and reflecting on them and later meditating on them to the swift enlightenment of each and every living being. May we ourselves quickly attain all qualities of Buddhahood within our mind. May we understand perfectly exactly how to meditate on the stages of the path. May we do so without any obstacles, and may we have all realizations that we may be able to give those realizations to others. Okay? Thank you. For next class, very quickly, just a minute, will be next session, session 4. We will be doing one purification practice called Vajrasattva practice. So that will be the next class. We'll talk more about what to do in between sessions, motivation, protecting our minds, training in the 8 verses, lamrim colored glasses, other helpful activities, everyday dharma, living in the vows, prayer wheel, rejoicing when difficulties arise, concluding the morning, and we'll do dedication and yoga of eating and yoga of sleeping and so forth. So nice little small pieces next time. And as you go today or leave today, put things in perspective. So like start to put your package, your map together, okay? Okay, so you just start to say, okay, I have to do, you know, so preliminary practice includes this. When can I do that? How will I do that? Do I have a place, dedicated place? How will I do that? Do those things. Come to some sort of a story and then develop that. Start to practice it. That's what I'm, and I know you guys, some of you are taking assessment. If you can, answer this question for the next time. It's your third question. If you can take some notes and write it down. How do you know what meditations to do when structuring your daily practice? Okay? We talked about looking at the lamrim meditations. We've talked about 3 scopes. You start with the lower scope, glance at it, review it, keep the entire lamrim contents in front of you, and then choose the meditation, and you don't have to do everything. Take look at the advantages, disadvantages, and kind of focus on the areas that you can relate to, and come from different angles, and contemplate it, and kind of contemplate on it, and then take slow and steady steps. Okay? So that was the whole content today, and we did a review of the first 2 classes. So now it's coming together for you. Okay? Thank you.